In its 2012 federal budget, the federal conservative government divested from 2.3 million acres of native grasslands. These community pastures were created in 1935 under the Prairie Farm Rehabilitation Act. Currently, the Public Service Alliance of Canada is sponsoring the Protect the Prairie campaign to stop the sale of these lands. Marianne Hludin is PSAC's Regional Executive Vice President for the Prairies, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Marianne.
Thanks for the invitation.
The community grasslands, which are in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, were put under federal management and protection, as I mentioned, in 1935. Can you talk briefly about the circumstances and reasons for setting this land aside as protected grassland?
Well, when the program was established, it was because after the Depression era, the Dirty 30s that everyone knows about, the grasslands take some management and some maintenance to make sure that they're sustainable for cattle grazing, for, you know, just to keep the land in use. So through the PFRA, the department was created, and their job was to make sure not just to maintain what was already there, but they were actually able to bring grasslands back to life that basically had gone by the wayside through the Depression era.
What other benefits have resulted from the pastures being managed by the Prairie Farm Rehabilitation Administration?
Well, I think the one thing that this government has forgotten is that this is not just a program about grazing cattle. It's actually sustainable environmental protection for the land. The pasture managers are responsible for patrons, 3,300 patrons across the three prairie provinces, basically bring their cattle in because they don't have the resources to own their own pasture land. So they get into the pasture program basically from the bottom up. So if you have fewer cattle, less resources, you can apply to be in the program. But that's just a small part of the program. What the pasture managers and the riders do is they're constantly looking at the land to see if there's problems. So we know at this point there's at least 31 endangered species throughout the pasture program. All of the riders that work there can identify this. So if they see there's a problem, the department has biologists on staff, and they routinely come through and they check for the health of the grasslands so that it will be there for generations to come.
And I did see, reading the news release that the federal government put out, it did talk about the success of these lands over the past, I guess, 70-plus years. And it seems that, you know, in a way they were trying to justify the cuts because it's been so successful.
Well, I think the one thing that the government has been very clever in how they deliver their messaging, this program does not cost the taxpayers anything. The patrons who use the pasture program pay a fee per head of cattle that they put there. Throughout time, it's been cost recovered. So in some respects, the government says, well, you know, they're not paying enough. Well, instead of looking at possibly increasing in, you know, to reasonable levels, they're divesting a program that really costs the taxpayers nothing, but yet is part of their austerity budget to save money. So in that respect, it's difficult to see their rationale for this.
Another interesting thing, and preparing for our discussion, I was looking at the federal website, and one thing I happened to find was about how staff from the Prairie Farm Rehabilitation Administration had done work overseas, as development work. I think it was in Afghanistan. It was a senior soil conservation and an erosion specialist had done work there. Can you talk about the scientific and technical expertise that'll be lost with these cuts?
Well, you know, we have pasture managers who live full-time on the pastures, and they pay rent, by the way. So they live in government housing. They're on the job 24/7, and they pay rent to be there. Throughout the season, we have pasture riders come in, and these are guys who show up with their horses. That's part of their job contract. And, if you live in an area with a PFRA pasture, it's not uncommon to see a cattle drive going, you know, down the highway. So it's, you know, it's something that we don't see very often. But in addition to that, in the background there, at the head office, there's a whole team that specializes in, looking at invasive species. right now we're dealing with the issue of purple loosestrife. And that's something that I think most environmental activists are aware of. And if that took hold in the pastures, that means it's not available for any livestock because it's poisonous to them. So our guys, even though they may be a pasture rider who and they're looking for that lost calf, they need to be able to identify it. And if they identify it, then they contact the head office and they figure out what they have to do to control it and to contain it. And, you know, these folks are recognized internationally for their expertise. They brought us out of the 30s and they brought this land back. Some of it is native. Some of it was returned to native land. And that's the part that we're not seeing from the provincial governments that they're necessarily taking as serious. They're looking at the cattle producers, which is an important part of it, but they're not looking at how to maintain the health of the pasture land as it is.
And with that, I wanted to talk about what's happening in Manitoba, because in Saskatchewan, from what I've heard, the provincial government is looking at selling some of the land. In Manitoba, it looks like the land that is reverting to provincial control will be managed by a nonprofit group, the Association of Manitoba Community Pastures. But this group has been set up by the Manitoba beef producers. Is this giving too much control to the beef industry?
Well, not having seen the proposal, I honestly don't want to offer any opinions on that at this time. However, I think that's the one concern we have, is that this is not a program necessarily where the priority is on the livestock. It's on the health of the land to be able to maintain the livestock. And, you know, as producers, they want to be able to, you know, to get the best yield on their cattle. So, you know, and they are stewards of the land, you know, they understand that. Do they necessarily have the expertise? And as a nonprofit, will they have the resources to be able to ensure that they have that expertise? Is the government committing to that? And those are the issues that we're raising, more specifically in Saskatchewan, because the government does not seem interested in taking it over or maintaining the land. But it's also a concern here in Manitoba.
And are you concerned that there could be pressures to sell off some of the land, you know, maybe not right now, but in the future, if we did have a change in government in Manitoba, or if the nonprofit was struggling to either, you know, wholesale or incrementally to put some of the land on the market?
Absolutely. We know in Saskatchewan, for example, right now the government is offering patrons, who are the people that are putting their cattle on the land, they're offering them the opportunity to buy into a pasture. We know for a fact that there are investors who are waiting on the sidelines, and there's no restriction. So if someone, a patron, was to buy a block of land, 2 weeks later he could sell it to an investor for double his money and walk away and head to the bank. Currently in Manitoba, that's not the case. That could change tomorrow. That could change at an election. It could change at any time. So really, we need to make sure that the land is maintained, that there's no opportunity for someone to come in and buy it and use it for other purposes, be it resource extraction, which is the other concern primarily in Saskatchewan as well. So definitely a concern.
One of the Manitoba pastures is on the former site of the town of St. Madeleine, which was created by forcibly removing a Métis community from the land. And this community was destroyed. And Métis farmers, from what I've heard, were not compensated, unlike white farmers who were in 1935. Have you heard of any discussions with Métis representatives about this land now that it's no longer under or no longer will be under federal jurisdiction?
In Manitoba, I'm not aware of that. I know that in Saskatchewan, some of the lands are still in dispute through the treaty process. That's been part of the problem, how the federal government has been divesting of programs, whether it's the pastures or hot springs in Alberta, is the problem is that they're not consulting with First Nations or Métis Nations. We have brought that up at every level, saying that before the land is sold to any investors, that, you know, anyone who has a right to lay claim should be entitled to do so, and we would support that.
Has the Manitoba government been very vocal on this issue? I wasn't able to find anything from them.
We really haven't heard much from the Manitoba government. When we launched the campaign, protecttheprairie.ca, there is a link on the website to be able to email the premiers of Saskatchewan and Manitoba, along with some federal MPs, and in discussion with someone in the agriculture minister's office here, they have received in excess of 12,000 emails. So we know that's working. We know they're aware of it. I know they have been working with the patron groups, but it hasn't been as contentious because the first commitment was the land would not be sold. But to us, that's a great start, but it's not enough. There's more. They need to flesh the plan out a little bit more.
And are you working with any environmental groups on this campaign?
Absolutely. You know, as a union, we represent the workers who are employed through the Community Pasture Program, and our job is to do the best we can for them to maintain employment. Because of the scope of this and the environmental aspects of it, we had no trouble finding partners. So we're currently working with the Saskatchewan Environmental Society. We have some partners at the University of Saskatchewan who are providing some real technical advice to us on what it means. And we're also working with CPAWS, the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society. And they truly understand the idea that the health of the grasslands is, you know, without that, there will be no program in 5 years and 10 years. So we've gotten a lot of response from the environmental community.
Well, thank you for coming in and speaking to me about it today.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Marianne Hludin, Regional Executive Vice President for the Prairies of PSAC, the Public Service Alliance of Canada. And there is more information on the campaign about the community pastures, and that's at protecttheprairie.ca. And I would like to thank Nature Manitoba for inspiring this interview with their article. It was called Selling Off Our Prairie Commons, and you can find that in their January-February newsletter at naturemanitoba.ca. And you're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.